grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus the Christ. Amen. Now, I don't know if any of y'all caught it, but in verse 12 of our gospel text this morning from the 14th chapter of John, Jesus said something to Philip and to the rest of the disciples, for that matter, that I think is very interesting. Jesus said, "Very truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these." If you hadn't realized it before, this is one of the greatest promises that Jesus made to all believers, everywhere, at every time, in every language and culture. It's the promise that all who believe in him, in Christ Jesus, in the anointed Son of God, everyone that believes in him as Lord and Savior will have the ability and the power to do great works, just as he did while he was on earth. And of course, just as Jesus did all those great works, the healings, the miracles, the walking on waters, and all the rest, just as he did all that, he did it for the glory of his heavenly Father, and so will all those who believe in him, who will do greater works than these, will do it for the glory of God, and I dare say, and for the benefits of our fellow mankind. What a promise this is. What a promise this is for all believers. And I sincerely hope that you believe it. Well, this morning we're going to talk a bit about this great work that we've been called to do as we conclude our sermon series on being possessed by the Holy Spirit. Now, last Sunday, I'm sure I may have made some of you squirm in your seat a little bit when I said that we, by definition, that all believers are charismatics. I know some of you probably said, "Oh, no way, Pastor. I'm not like one of them. They're just a bunch of Looney Tunes claiming to be able to heal the sick and do all these amazing things." No, I'm not one of them. I'm just a regular, plain Lutheran Christian. Well, if you remember the logic that I laid out last week, that the very word charismata means gifts of grace, which we know is given to us by the Holy Spirit, that is given to us, that is sealed within us. So if you are a baptized child of God and has been sealed with the power of the Holy Spirit, you are charismatic, whether you know it or not. Whether you use the gifts that the Holy Spirit has given you or not. By definition, whether we know it or not, we are charismatic Christians. We have been given the gifts of grace through the Holy Spirit that is in us. So what does this mean for us and for all baptized children of God? Well, it means that being filled with and possessed by the Holy Spirit, God is able to work through most Christians in powerful ways, in healing the sick, both those who are sick spiritually, psychologically, emotionally, physically. This means that God is able to use Christians who have been sealed with the Holy Spirit to restore broken relationships, to transform lives of chaotic existence into life of promise and of hope. You see, ever since the early history of our Christian church. Going all the way back to the first century AD, Christians empowered by the Holy Spirit has done amazing things. Such things as rescuing infant girls from the trash heap of Roman dumpsters, because back then, girls were not really needed to live. And so when someone gave birth to a little girl, they would take him to and leave him at a trash heap, hoping that either the wild animals would get to him or they would simply die of dehydration and starvation. Christians, empowered by the Holy Spirit, would go out and rescue these little babies and raise them as their own, empowered by the Holy Spirit. The Church of Jesus Christ have done these sort of works since the beginning of our Christian history. Throughout the centuries, we have the church, empowered by the Holy Spirit, has established insane asylums to care for those who are mentally and psychologically impaired when the rest of the world would have nothing to do with them. Christians, charismatic Christians, would be empowered by the Holy Spirit to start what is called orphanages, because no one wanted the children that are left behind, the children that are parentless. Christians started what we know today as schools and universities. Christians started the nursing home movements, the rehab centers. Christians started even what we now call hospitals. The sad thing that will happen in recent history, recent centuries, that we as Christians have allowed the governments to take over those things. It is the people of God, empowered and infused and possessed by the Holy Spirit, that has made these amazing things happen in God's Word. In Acts chapter 10, verse 34, we find the Apostle Peter preaching to the Gentiles. And one of the things that he tells them is that God shows no partiality. In other words, God will work through anyone in whom his Holy Spirit lives in. Anyone who has been given the gift of the Holy Spirit, given the power of the Holy Spirit in him, God is able to work through them to accomplish what God desires to happen. In fact, I dare say that even non-believers get to be used by God for his purpose. Why? Because God is a sovereign God. He will accomplish his will and purpose with or without you. He will use whatever means necessary to work through what he wishes to accomplish. Even non-believers can be used by God to accomplish his will and purpose for the sake of his creation, for the sake of his children. So do you know what this means? This means that God has a specific purpose and calling on the life of every believer. It don't matter if the believer goes to church every Sunday or on Christmas and Easter's only. Every believer in Jesus Christ has a purpose and has a calling on their life. God has placed a specific calling on all of our lives. And the beauty of it all is that we all have been given different gifts to accomplish the different purposes that God has called us to do. Of course, we've been called to do these things all for the glory of God and for the well-being and the benefit of his children. Now, if you don't know how the Holy Spirit has gifted you, if you don't know or if you have spiritual gifts, there are ways to assess and to determine what your spiritual gifts may be. In fact, this fall, I plan to offer a class on spiritual gift inventory for those who are interested in knowing what exactly has God gifted them and how they could use and implement those gifts for accomplishing God's will and purpose in the world. Now, as many and varied our spiritual gifts from the Holy Spirit may be, there is one common denominator in all of our different callings. It's this: we cannot accomplish what we've been called to do apart from God. Try as we may in our own flesh, in our own natural ability, try as we may, we will not be able to accomplish all that God has desired and has purposed for us to do apart from Him. What this means is that God is not asking us to fulfill the call He has on our lives without Him or by ourselves. What this means is that God very much desires to work in us and through us to accomplish His purpose. Even Jesus, the Son of God Himself, acknowledges that it is not Him alone who's doing the works, but the Spirit of God dwelling in Him, who empowers Him to do the works, to say the things that He has said. In fact, in John chapter 14, verse 10, Jesus said, "Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does His works." So it is the Holy Spirit, or the Spirit of God living in us, that has possessed us, will work through us and enable us to do these great and mighty works. Now, the good news is that this Holy Spirit that you, as baptized members of the body of Christ, that you have been sealed with, this Holy Spirit is the same Holy Spirit that fell on Jesus after His baptism in the Jordan River. It's the same Holy Spirit that has acted and continues to act and to continue to move in the world today. That same Spirit is in you, has been sealed in you. This is the same Spirit that has possessed you, calls you His own. Now, I suppose someone could ask, "Well, Pastor, does being possessed by the Holy Spirit mean that I am God's robot? That I can only do what God wants me to do?" Well, no. You are not God's robot. God did not create robots or puppets when He created human beings or He created creation. God, in His infinite wisdom, has designed and fashioned us to have free will so that we could make choices. And when we choose to allow the Holy Spirit to work in us and through us, amazing and miraculous things happen in our lives. Things that will bless us and bless others, as well as bring praise and glory to God. In our baptism liturgy, there is a portion of the liturgy where a candle is given to a child who is being baptized, and the words are said, "Let your light so shine before others that they see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven." Now, the question that we should be asking ourselves is, how do I allow the Holy Spirit that is within me to work through me? Well, the answer is L-O-V-E, love. As most of you already know, one of the most powerful forces in the universe is love. And I dare say it's even more powerful than hate. This force is the kind of force that some of you may still be there, and others of you may remember in distant memory how powerful you felt when you fell in love with that certain someone. There's nothing in the world that could have touched you. This love is one of the most powerful forces in the universe. And the way to tap into the power that love has is to allow God, to allow the very source of love to rule in our hearts, in our minds, in our very lives. You want to tap into the power of God? You got to have the love of God. And when we do, amazing and impossible things happen in our lives and in the world. Yes, through the love of God that we live in and possesses us, it will be no surprise to any of us if the blind will see, if the lame will walk, if the oppressed will know freedom. It will be no surprise to any of us should the lost be found and the weak be strengthened, the impossible become possible. And as just as Jesus promised, even greater works than these will be done by his followers through the power of God's love, that power that is able to change and transform things from not to is, from was to now. Yes, the love of God gives us access to the power of God. Apart from it, we can accomplish nothing. Yes, it is the powerful force. This powerful force we know as love that moved God to have his one and only Son to die in our place. It is this same powerful force known as love that God used to resurrect his Son from the dead, bring it to new life so that we will have life in eternity. In the book of Genesis, when God created the heavens and the earth, the power to create came from the overwhelming desire that God had to create and to have children that he could love. That's the power of love. And the reason that we saw Jesus operate in the power of God and doing all those miracles and healing all those who are sick and ill is because Jesus always walked in the love of his Father, in the love of God. In fact, in Matthew 14:14, we're told that when Jesus came ashore, he saw a great crowd and he had compassion. Other translations say his heart was moved. His heart was moved in such a way with love that he ended up curing the sick. He tapped into the power of God's love, enabling him to be and to act and to do powerful things. So the truth and the bottom line is this. Apart from the love of God, which is at work in our hearts and in our minds and in our lives, apart from the love of God, the power of God will not be ours, will not show up. And without the power of God at work in and through us, how different are we then from the non-believers around us? What would make us stand apart from the world that we live in, from the world that we're enmeshed in? What, apart from God's love, what would distinguish us as people of God? And if we're no different than the unbelievers around us, then what hope is there for the world? Especially when the world is in such desperate need of hope, of faith, and of love. It is my prayer that as people of God, yes, as Lutheran-flavored Christians that we are, that we tap into the charismatic nature that we are in the gifts of grace that God has given us through His Holy Spirit. And that when the time comes, we are to be called to do great things, greater things. Now, we don't have to do works that would move mountains or shake the foundation of the earth. We could start with the small, needful things to be done for the sake of our neighbors, for the sake of our fellow mankind, acting first and foremost through the love of God, and thereby tapping into the power of God. And as His beloved children, filled, possessed by the Holy Spirit, we can do amazing things, more so than has ever been done before, as Jesus promised. Amen. Please.